Catherine was only 25 years old when she heard God's calling on her life. Just 25 years old, and this bright young Christian finds herself going to Romania to help orphans living with HIV. And she finds herself on a prison outreach program with her church. She was that type of person who just keeps taking risks in faith, keeps stepping forward in faith. And I love stories about people like this. Well, Catherine got to know the inmates in the prisons that she visited, and she started to ask, what makes these guys different from the people on the outside? Like, say they ran a big drug business before they landed in prison. Could they put those same business skills to good use after prison? Maybe they could use some of those management positions that they were already so familiar with. Now, in her day job, Catherine herself was working with all of these super driven, super successful people with outstanding entrepreneurial skills, and she found those same gifts in the prisoners. So she started to ask, what if they could take business classes? What if they could be prepared for a career for when they got out? Well, soon she found herself spending weekends at the prison to keep teaching classes, to keep stepping forward in faith, to keep taking risks, just encouraging these inmates for their future. And now that's not to say it was easy. Many prisoners want to find work after they're released, but not many companies want to hire them. I read a statistic that nearly 1 in 4 Americans has a criminal history. Okay, nearly 1 in 4 of us has a criminal history, and yet this entire population can be turned down for work. This entire population can be cast aside, even though they have the knowledge, they have the skills, they have the desire to make a difference. Well, eventually, Catherine quit her job. She used all her savings to create a nonprofit to help formerly incarcerated men find jobs and start their own businesses. Soon it was a statewide organization that had 600 graduates, and of those graduates, they launched 60 startups. The governor recognized her work, gave her a public service award. The president recognized her. These are the kinds of people, this woman, these are the kinds of people who are just really living out their faith. And I thank God for that. These are the kinds of people who take their faith far beyond the walls of a church. They're crossing borders into other countries. They're stepping behind the walls of a prison. Someone like this is a rock that the church is built on. But the strongest rock can crumble. Catherine was only 31 when her husband asked for a divorce and left without saying goodbye. 9 years of marriage, and she was alone. And hers was a church tradition that condemned divorce, so she felt cut off from her church family. But there was only one community that she knew wouldn't judge her, and it wasn't her church. It was the group of former inmates she had worked with. The men who had graduated from her business program and had gotten out of prison, the men she had believed in. She knew they knew what it felt like to be judged. She knew they knew what it felt like to be outcast. So they helped her move out of the home that she had shared with her husband, and they became her closest friends. But the story doesn't get better from here. It gets worse. In really dark periods, in really emotional times, anyone can lose sight of boundaries. Anyone can start to rely on others and open up to others so much that things get blurry. And so we forget a little of who we are, or we forget to be healthy in all areas until we find ourselves unwell. During this emotional time, Catherine lost sight of boundaries and ended up having intimate relationships with multiple graduates of her program. And now these men had all been released from prison, so she hadn't broken any laws, but still, the Department of Criminal Justice recognized that this was not appropriate, especially for someone in her position, so she was banned from all prisons. She resigned. Her nonprofit was disbanded, and her story was featured in national newspapers as a prison sex scandal. How quickly everything can crumble. Imagine the shame Catherine must have felt, the public shame, the humiliation, the realization that everything she worked for, everything she stood for, everything she poured her life into up to that point was now ruined because of her own weaknesses. I violated my spiritual values, she said. I felt like I was covered in the thickest wall of shame. I lost my identity as a leader. I was dead broke financially. I didn't want to live anymore. And indeed, she attempted suicide because she said, I felt like I had ruined God's calling for my life. Is this not how Peter must have felt in those days after Jesus died? When I think about Catherine's story, I can't help but think how it mirrors the shame Peter felt after he pretended he didn't know Jesus, after he abandoned his friend, his teacher, his rabbi, just when the going got tough. It's that same kind of shame. When you know you had all this potential to be a force for good in the world, and yet you've messed up, and it has impacted lives, and it's a public mistake that you might never live down. This is what Peter is feeling just a week after Jesus died. This is what's going on inside him when our story picks up today. It's those feelings that make him want to go off by himself and go fishing. He just wants to be left alone. So he tells his friends, I'm going fishing. But his friends don't let him go fishing alone. They're not going to leave him behind, no matter what he did. And so they fish together through the night, and they catch nothing until Jesus appears on the shore and tells them where to let down their nets. And so they follow his advice, and they catch more fish than they can carry. And so everyone finally recognizes that Jesus, the risen Jesus, has appeared. He is alive. He has come back. And so Peter jumps overboard and swims to him as fast as he can. And now we come to the most beautiful detail in the story. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire that Jesus was building. And I bet they smelled it too, the scent of the smoke and the chalky charcoal hint in the air. You ever notice how smell is so connected to memory? Like if you smell cinnamon coffee cake, it might take you back to when your mom would pull a loaf warm from the oven on Christmas morning. Or if you smell a certain cologne, you suddenly remember the first time you danced with your husband. It immediately puts you in the past. Do you know the last time Peter would have smelled a charcoal fire? Do you know the only other time a charcoal fire is mentioned in the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation? The one other time that God's word adds in this detail? It's the night Peter betrayed Jesus. It was a week prior. When the police had gotten custody of Jesus and Peter waited outside to see what would happen, those with him had made a charcoal fire because the night was cold. And it was then that someone asked him, one of this man's followers, aren't you? And as Peter warmed his hands over the charcoal fire, he said, I am not. I am not. Jesus builds a charcoal fire on the beach now, a week later, and you know how smell is so connected to memory? He is recreating that old scene, the darkest moment in Peter's life. He's recreating it because he's resurrecting it. He's renewing it. He's redeeming it. Jesus builds a charcoal fire on the beach to warm the bread and fry the fish, but that's not the only reason he built that fire. He built that fire to meet a sinner in his place of sin. This is what Jesus does. He comes right to that painful memory. He comes right to that brokenness, and it's right there that he gives us a new story. So while the embers are glowing and the men are warming themselves by the fire, Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? Again, he asks, do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter, with his eyes watering from the smoke, or maybe not from the smoke, says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus says, feed my sheep. You still have a purpose. I'm still writing your story. You still can make a difference in this world. Do you wonder whatever happened to that woman named Catherine? Well, after all the shame and scandal, she did a few things. First, she talked to her pastor, and thanks be to God, that pastor spoke of God's forgiveness and of the need for Catherine to forgive herself. And the way she could forgive herself was by first owning what she had done, not minimalizing it, not trivializing it, but owning up to the fact that she had sinned. So she wrote a letter to all the volunteers and supporters of her program, all 7,500 of them. The letter was frank and remorseful. She admitted what she'd done. She asked for their forgiveness. And more than 1,000 responses came back to her, not condemning her, but thanking her for her honesty. And her supporters encouraged her to look to the future. What if she was like Peter? What if Christ was still calling her to feed his sheep? Catherine founded a new nonprofit, Defy Ventures, which offers a one-year entrepreneurial training and mentorship program to people with criminal backgrounds. In its first 2 years alone, it helped start 21 companies where time and time again, God meets someone in their place of brokenness and uses that place of brokenness to heal someone else. So a man named Seth worked in the prison kitchen while he did time. And when he got out, he started a business with healthy granola bars, which were the complete opposite of what they had to eat in prison. These were all natural, all nutritious. He calls them prison bars. So a man named Koss lived in a prison cell the size of an area rug, where he lost 70 pounds in just 6 months. And when he got out, he started a business with a fitness program for cardiovascular, aerobic, and running exercises. So a woman named Kim was an orderly while she was in prison, and when she got out, she started an eco-friendly cleaning service for the East Coast. And a woman named Catherine helped people get a second chance until she needed her own second chance. She got to start all over again. And a man named Peter turned his back on Christ in his lowest hour, but Jesus redeemed him right there in his brokenness. So Peter went on to share his story with others, and the first time he did, 3,000 people joined the church. Friends, I believe Jesus is still standing by a charcoal fire, ready to meet us at our lowest point, ready to take the worst thing we've done and turn it into our greatest story? Do you love him? Feed his sheep. Amen.